What's up? Welcome to episode 321 of the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Izzy.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And here we are. We were off last week. Luckily, there wasn't too much news. The main thing from last week that we missed to talk about was the partnership between Sony and Microsoft for streaming, as well as AI development between the two companies. It hasn't been... It's not going to be implemented right away. It's just kind of this... I forget what they called it. I wish I could pull up the article. It was more like a... What do they call it? A light understanding. Like, it wasn't necessarily, hey, we're instantly partnering up for this. It's just that they're going to be... They have this business... light business agreement to kind of work together on this stuff. So that was a big thing. It led to a lot of speculation, but I don't think it'll be anything major. Not for a while, anyways. But as far as new releases go, last week, I think, Everybody's Golf VR came out last week, and I know this week we had Observation, Castlevania Collection, and also we had Plague's Tale from last week. So those are the big ones. I'll talk about Observation once we get to that segment, but I wanted to pick up the Castlevania Collection, but it's been reviewing well, but I don't know how much I would play of it, because I'd really like Symphony of the Night, but I don't know how much I want to go play some of the original Castlevanias. I never really played a ton of them back on the NES. And
they're fun. Having as someone who has played all of them and who loves hard games, the original ones did not age super well.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun still. You will still enjoy playing them for like the first two levels. And then you'll want to shoot yourself.
Yeah.
The music is phenomenal. But yeah, the original Castlevania games, the only one I ever go back to is Castlevania... I can't remember if it's 3 or 4, but Simon's Quest is the only one I ever end up going back to.
Well, I heard that in the collection, apparently you can... They made it to where you can super easily save scum it, so it makes it a lot easier. But yeah, I remember playing 3 quite a bit, and I don't think I ever... I might have played Castlevania 1. I think I played 1 and 3. I didn't play 2. But I know there's some other ones on there as well, from, I think, what, Super NES? And some... I think they have some ones from Game Boy. Is that right? But yeah, I don't really have any interest in it. Like, I have the Symphony of the Night one for PS4. So it's like, that's all I really want. I don't... Like, I played Rondo Blood a little bit, and it was all right, but I just really wanted Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night is just so good compared to all the others that it's tough to make an argument for playing the other ones.
Yeah, I almost want to, just for historical purposes, just to be like, oh, here's the game. I mean, I've seen them played before for, like, speed runs or just general playthroughs just to hear the music or to see, like, oh, I want to see how much of this I remember. Like, I did that for Ninja Gaiden from NES. I was like, I know I've played Ninja Gaiden. I know I didn't beat it as a kid, but I remember it. So I'd watch, like, a playthrough to see, like, oh, I clearly made it this far because I remember this.
I remember getting frustrated at this part repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like going back and seeing how... See if I can spark those memories of playing those games. But it would be kind of... I feel like if they're on sale, maybe. Especially since the games are so short. Obviously, they're short for good, but it'd be interesting to go back to them.
Oh, God, if those games are... Well, no, they're long because they're so hard.
Right. But if you're like, once you get them, like, you can beat them like super quick. Like, what, you can be like first couple of Castlevanias in like less than 20 minutes or something like that. Like, it's super quick.
Like, I never beat them that fast, but yeah. Probably.
Yeah, you can, like, you just know exactly when to jump, what weapon to grab, you know, which enemy you have to kill. Like, it's just... You watch people play them, but yeah, you can do that super fast. There's also a bunch of deals going on, as per usual. There's a big double discount going on that lasts until the 4th. We talked about it. I don't think this was a last podcast, but there's a lot of stuff in there. A lot of, like, GTA 5. There's a lot of games. I actually looked at it when I first, because it's alphabetical. Like, this is one thing I don't like about the PlayStation Store on PlayStation, is that if I look at all the game deals, I wish it would just default to, hey, I'm on this platform, just list these and then default to popularity or something. I wish it wouldn't default to alphabetical all the time. It's really, like, what's also weird is that it's alphabetical except for the top row. So the top row is Grand Theft Auto 5, NBA 2K19, and Outward. Then it proceeds to be alphabetical. And I feel like just make it the popular ones by default, and then I can alphabetical later. Because you get a lot, because when I first look at it, it's like, oh, it's a bunch of these no-nonsense, you know, PS Plus games I don't care about. But then I go down, I'm like, oh, actually, there's a lot of big things in here. You know, Dragon Age Inquisition, Dirt, Rally, all these games, Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition, Far Cry, stuff like that. So it's like, man, just sort by popularity. Just do that. Or I wish you could sort by, you might be able to sort by like a percentage of discount. It would be interesting. I'll have to go. But yeah, there's a, yeah, there you go. Price. You can do, well, the price doesn't really help. But at least when you look at the price, it shows you how many games are in the $2 to $5 range. How many are in the $5 to $10, $10 to $20, $20, $30. So that's nice if you don't look like those. But yeah, I wish they'd just do popularity by default. But yeah, there's that sale. It's gone on for a good while. A lot of stuff in there. Totally digital sale that's going on. That ends on Monday, I believe. And then the other, that WB game publisher sale, that was big. That ends on, I think that's been up for about 2 weeks. I might have to look at that because I think Hitman 2 is part of this. I know they got like all the Lego games, Batman, Mortal Kombat, 10 anyway, Shadow of Mordor. Yeah, you got the Hitman HD Enhanced Collection, which I think I already have, and actually I might not, but I was hoping that, Mad Max is on sale. It's $5. Okay, interesting. But yeah, definitely check those out. A lot of video deals. And I like they also added this extra deal section called, it's just default, you can click on games under $20, games under $15. So I like that you can just instantly kind of go to that if you want to browse all those. But yeah, those are there. As far as news goes, like I said, we mentioned the Microsoft Sony thing, but we'll wait to see what happens there. Anyways, Sony announced, or at least I believe it was during a investor conversation. Let's see, this is a report from Twinfinite, citing the Hollywood Reporter, which reported, recently unveiled Sony Interactive Entertainment just launched PlayStation Products, a studio that will comb through Sony's gargantuan library of games and determine which are ripe for film and television. And this is a quote from Sean Layden. We've got 25 years of games development experience, and that's created 25 years of great games, franchises, and stories. We feel that now is a good time to look at other media opportunities across streaming or film or television to give our world's life in another spectrum. So essentially, they're looking at all their IP and what would be good. I know they're working on a Twisted Metal TV series, apparently, which is interesting.
What?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. I'm trying to see if it's in the same article because I saw it in a different one. I kind of wish some article would just give you a quick highlight and see if I could just look it up. Twisted. Yeah, it's not in this article. It's in a different one. But they announced that they said that they're working on a Twisted Metal TV series. Which I feel like that's hard to mess up. I mean, it's a car combat tournament with a guy who runs it that's going to grant you a wish, and he's more like a evil genie, so he's going to twist your shit around and you're going to get screwed over. That could be interesting.
Having never played many of those games,
yeah.
I guess I never realized that was what the story is about. What kind of monkey paw wishes do they actually have in it?
Well, like in Twisted Metal 1, I'm trying to think of who. So there's this character named Outlaw. He's a police officer. And his wish, I'm trying to remember his wish. Whatever it was, Calypso ends up launching him in his car, of course, because you're in the car the whole time, into space. So I forget what his wish was, but he twists it and he ends up getting launched out into space. So then in Twisted Metal 2, there's a character named Outlaw 2, who is the sister of the original Outlaw. And she makes the wish that she wished she could see her brother. So then Calypso's like, you know, oh, really? He's like, I'll grant you your wish. And then he sends her up in space as well. And she's like, no, But then it turns out, like, her car, like, she's floating up there with her brother. Of course, they can breathe in space because it's PS1 or whatever. And they're talking. She's like, sis, what are you doing? She's like, I came to get you. She's like, but Calypso tricked you, too. He's like, she's all, I don't think so. And it turns out she outfitted her police car with rockets. So she takes her brother and flies the car back to Earth to get revenge in Twist Metal 3 on Calypso.
That sounds so dumb.
There was one.
It's so wonderful.
That, I love it.
Because I believe what happened with, if I remember correctly, I don't know if Axel was in the original Twist of Metal, but I believe he, that's how he got messed up with that giant wheels, because he made a wish. I forget what it was. But yeah, it's everybody makes a wish and he twists it around. And they're all like kind of comedic and stuff. The only one that isn't Twist of Metal 2 is Marcus Kane, who is, oh my God, I'm Roadkill. And he believes that everything's all a dream, that they're not actually in this tournament, like the world isn't fucking destroyed. And Clips is like, you know, oh, you're the only one who guessed it. And then he wakes up and it turns out like he's in a hospital and everybody else who's in the tournament is in a coma around him. So he's like, Axel's missing his arms because he doesn't have his arms in Twist Metal. And it was like this giant like car pileup on the highway, and that's that was like the truth. But then Marcus Kane is also Sweet Tooth, which is like this whole other thing, but it's fun. The one that gets really twisted, or not twisted, but really dark, and he doesn't screw up the wishes, is Twisted Metal Black on PlayStation 2. Those are very much like straightforward, because like there was a boxer, and I forget what the character's name was, but like he was a boxer. He got beat up, and there was. He was getting some surgery done on his face because he got totally, you know, messed up in this boxing match. But the doctor who's doing the surgery on him, if I remember correctly, bet that he would win. And because he lost, the doctor, like, just totally disfigures him because he's, you know, mad that he lost all this money. And so then his wish is to get, he wants to get back and find this doctor. So then when he wins the tournament, Calypso has the doctor. The doctor's like tied up to a punching bag, and then the driver, I forget the driver's name, he has this boxing glove with like scalpels and scissors on it, and he just lines up this punch, and right as he goes to punch him in the face, like it cuts to black. Like he gets his revenge. Like the what happens in Twisted Metal Black is very much way darker and not twisted. Like those are really good. But yeah, he was always twisting around people's wishes. I wish I could remember more off the top of my head, but there's that one Twister from, I like Twisters from Twisted Metal 2, because she wanted to go like the speed of light, because she was like this F1 racer, and she ends up going so fast she travels back in time to like the Jurassic period. So all of a sudden she stops and she's like because her car runs out of gas because she was driving for too long, and she gets out of her car, she's like, what, where am I? And you see like this like volcano in the distance. I think you see like pterodactyls flying around, and then she all of a sudden hears like a stomp stomp, and she turns around and there's a shadow over her, and she's like, oh my God. And there's a T-Rex, and he just like, I think he steps on her and like crushes her, and she kills her. But like everyone's stuff except Sweet Tooth, he wishes that he just wants to be a bug in a garden. And so he
why
because he's Sweet Tooth and he's crazy. He just wants to be, yeah, he wishes to be a bug, and then like he ends up being a, like this caterpillar, but with the face of Sweet Tooth in this garden. And it was just like, and all these other bugs are dead around him because he's been killing them, I guess. But yeah,
I really wish I could have played those so that I would have these stories. But I feel like, given what you just said, I would not have appreciated that humor at all as a child. I would not have known what the fuck was happening.
Oh, it was great, Mr. Slam.
I would have thought it was a serious game.
Mr. Slam was the he drove the construction equipment. It was this tractor, and he wanted to build the tallest building in the world, and so he did. And then he's standing up top, and he's on the edge, and he's like, "Yes, look at this, you know, this masterpiece." But it's like it's so windy, he kind of loses his step bit, and he falls off, and he dies after he builds his giant building. But Twisted Metal games are great, man. Twisted Metal 3 was the weakest of the three, but I think that's because that was made by, I don't think that was made by the same people. I think, let's see, Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal 3. Because I think Twisted Metal 3 was made by someone else. Let's see. Twisted Metal 3 was by 989 Studios. Let's see what else they did. Games. Yeah, so they took over. So they're the same team that did Cold Borders 3. Like, back in the day, they did... Let's see. Well, that says published. I don't want published. I want developed. But it says that they did 3 and 4. Yeah. Composer Rob Zombie. Yeah, he did the... That's right. He did a lot of the music in that. But yeah, because the original one, you know, of course, Twisted Metal by Jaffe. And I believe that was from Single Track, and which was part of Sony Interactive Studios, I believe. But yeah, there's a... Yeah, it came out in 95. Twisted Metal 2 is 96. Yeah, the first two were developed by Single Track. And then Twisted Metal 3 and 4 were done by 989 Studios, which is still part of Sony, but it wasn't... I think because Jaffe wasn't involved. Probably a... or Scott Campbell. I don't think Scott Campbell was involved as well. But... yeah, 1 and 2 were great. They were really good car combat games, like multiplayer games. Like, it was just... They were fantastic on PS1. Even Black on the PS2 was great. Yeah, the only one I didn't finish because they changed it was 2012's Twisted Metal. Like, I did two of the storylines, but I didn't do all three of them. And I don't think I played much online because they changed the online modes in that game. And that was, the community kind of didn't all like it. Like, I played Twisted Metal head on the PSP. I did play that one back in 2005. Yes, they want to make that. And it could, like I said, it's something easy they could do. It's car combat. Probably like do like the death race kind of style. Maybe a little easier budget wise to just flip cars, you know, blow them up, stuff like that. But we'll see. And then what else do we have here? We got a release date for the Dark Pictures Anthology Man of Medan from Supermassive Games, of course. This, let's see, released, I hate when they don't put release dates right up on top, but it releases on August 30th for PS4, Xbox, and PC, so you can look forward to it there. I've seen a lot of, heard a lot of previews of it, I think last week, on like, I think it was on the Game Informer podcast, and they were talking about it, and just like the differences between decisions, and they felt like it was a lot more branching options there than there was in, oh my God, I'm blanking on the game. The other, oh God, what's the other one from Supermassive? You know, kids go to the cabin, got the Wendigos. I'm totally blanking on it.
Until Dawn?
Until Dawn, there we go. Yes, it's a, yeah, because that was one of the things they talked about, how it was a lot more variations than there was in the Until Dawn, which is to be expected. I mean, you do that game, it turns out really great, and you're like, okay, well, how can we iterate on this to make it a little better? But yeah, all the previews I've heard from Man of Medan has been really good, so I'm looking forward to that. We also had some weird off-the-cuff comment in a blog from George R. Martin, how he's working with a Japanese developer or publisher in some way on a game, like consulting, I guess, story-wise, but that's it, so there's no other news there. It's just that was floating around.
Is there ever any news with him?
Now, he did give a deadline for his next book to 2020, didn't he?
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, we'll see if that actually happens.
I mean, I'm not going to read it, but he did give that news date.
I don't mind because I don't actually read those books, but I fucking love reading. Okay, it's like playing EVE Online. I don't think I would ever enjoy actually playing EVE Online because it seems so involved and complicated and shit like that. But I fucking love reading about it. And it's the same thing with Game of Thrones. I don't think I would ever actually enjoy reading those books, but holy shit, I love reading about Game of Thrones drama.
Yeah. It's got. I feel like back, because you know all these people are like, oh, do it, make it. You know that you're gonna die before it's done, kind of things. But then I'm like, the pressure you must be under as a writer to make something, and then you just start doubting, like, will people like this? You know, that's got to be. I mean, for any creator or creative person, it's got to be just tough. Where you, especially when the first part of something you make is something you love because it's something you want to do, and then it just takes off down the line. And now it's like, uh-oh, it gets that, you know, I'm totally blanking on the word, but
I sort of agree. Like, the pressure is probably huge, but at the same time, if he never went to like HBO or actually told people like that he'd hit these deadlines and stuff, I don't think it would have been as big of an issue. I think it just annoys people because he constantly puts out other books. And yes, as an artist, he can write whatever the fuck he wants. And I think that's what a lot of people miss, is that like he doesn't have to finish the books. I think the spot where he bites himself in the ass is when he like did interviews with HBO and was like, oh yeah, the books will be done before the end of the series, so it'll stay true to it. And it's all of those like comments he makes that get him in trouble.
Yeah, sure. If you're kind of digging your own grave, like making empty promises.
Right. And especially, I think that's why it pisses people off.
Yeah, especially with his writing style. But yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that. Like, because then you get that whole story suddenly feels like the public or the people who enjoy it feel like they have ownership of it now as well. So
it was probably much easier before HBO made the books into a show, because I know that he was still really popular back then, but it wasn't like the same level.
Yeah. Moving on, there was a big, so we had Sony had an investor meeting, and the footage that they had showed Wired with Mark Cerny popped up online of the load times in Spider-Man and flying through the city in Spider-Man with the uncapped speed. And it went around. They didn't take it down. Like, it got shown everywhere. Like, everybody saw it. Like, it was clearly, it was just like handheld footage from the investor meeting or whatever. And got there. And it's impressive. For sure, especially the fast travel, load times, and all that, and the city rendering itself, and it's like, it's awesome that it's that quick. Obviously, that the city movement was turned off by Insomniac, so they can actually demo it. So if you're playing in the game, you can't necessarily. They're not gonna patch it to be like, oh, Spider-Man moves at 100 miles an hour now. It's not gonna be that. It's still gonna be within that restraint of the system. But yeah, it was really cool to see. I'm curious how it'll be for bigger PS5 games. It's like, all right, I can see this fast tech for this PS4 title. That's impressive. Now I want to see it on PS5 titles. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, they also had a lot of stuff come out of that. I think that's also where how that TV comment from Sean Layden talked about. But they also talked about a bunch of other stuff. Like, here they go. It's just Jim Ryan talking about how he believes in console generations. There's a big article there. You can read about it, about how well PlayStation 4 is selling. Just they had like this. They had this big old PowerPoint PDF essentially go up online that you can look at as well. Basically goes over all the slides where they talk about how the performance of every console and how it's selling, and just basically how showing it. These graphs are going up between each generation. And talks about how streaming, downloading, and physical media will be essential to PS5, and it kind of shows the growth of each forms of the media over time. They also talked about how they're going to be doing cross-gen with PS5 and PS4, since PS5 is going to be backwards compatible. So if you play Destiny 2 on your PS5, you can still play with everybody playing on PS4. They also talked about how they think the having backwards compatibility on PS5 will be a very huge feature going into this next gen, because it will help ease in new customers versus how they had to just cut everybody off last time. So it's like, yeah, makes total sense. They continue to reassure people that Death Stranding and Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us 2 will be on PS4. And it's like, I don't know why you have to reassure people. It's like, it's just these, it's obviously going to come out on PS4. And PS5 is backwards compatible, so if they want, they could just be like, oh, it's on PS4. Here's the disc. You can play it on your PS5 if it comes out when PlayStation 5 is already out. And then maybe be like, oh, they patched. Here's a PS5 specific patch. And there you go. It's like, maybe it runs, it's perfectly locked at 30 frames, or there's a 60 frame option. Like, who knows? But it's like, if it has backwards compatibility, then you could just be like, yeah, it still comes out in the...
I don't think the fear is so much over it coming out on PS4, at least from what I've seen. It's people wanting the best version of the game. So wanting to know, like, does this come out on PS5 as a launch title? And should I just wait for PS5 and get it on that instead for the absolute best version?
No, it's a lot of the comments, because if you read the comments they tag in there as well, is the people that are concerned, like, who are excited, and then they're worried that because they're going to take so long, that they will become a PS5 exclusive, to where now they have to upgrade. And that's the concern.
Just dumb.
Because they announce it for PS4. So if you announce it for PlayStation 4, and then let's say in theory they put, okay, these next three games are going to be now, because it's been so long, we're just going to make them PlayStation 5 exclusives. And it's like, yeah, but you said they were coming out on this gen, and I own this gen. I don't have the money yet to get the next one or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's like that's where people had the concerns.
Yeah, that's a dumb concern.
Yeah, it's like, because obviously they're going to release it on PS4, and because it's still playable on PS5. But I don't see them doing like an entirely different version, I imagine, especially if they want to be, it'll just be a patch. It'll be, you know, if anything. So, but yeah, they talked about how they definitely look forward to that, because they expect the PS4 to keep selling. Especially because they can lower the price once the 5's out. And then when you make the Switch, you just take all your games over and you're good to go. And then that's also will be really important, especially for all the games as services, because there weren't many of those from PS3 to PS4. So you want to make sure you can still play those games as service games. And then what else? I don't think there was much else here. I don't have any of the news bookmarked, but there was a big patch that came out, Just Cause 4, improved the lighting on a lot of stuff. You can see there's a video comparison that shows, I think, from Square on Square Enix's YouTube channel. You can look up there. They show like the change they did to the lighting rendering. They've also added a more difficult, aggressive enemy faction, because they felt like, oh, the enemy's kind of weak and you're a little overpowered. So now they made a much more aggressive enemy faction. They've add more destructibility, some more options for major destruction as well. They've increased ammo capacity of weapons that people have wanted, so that's you got that. They also apparently patched Red Dead Redemption 2 to have better HDR. Digital Foundry has a video up right now showing the differences between the HDR originally before the patch and then HDR after the patch. So that's good to see, because the HDR was kind of a problem, or was a big problem, because originally HDR. But yes, that'll be nice whenever I go back and replay that game. Had the new updated HDR on it. But that's basically it. So now we can go ahead and talk about what we've been playing. I've been playing a lot of was it Portia, Saya?
Oh, yeah, my time at Portia.
And then you're playing 14?
I'm farming MGP this weekend because I realized I didn't, and the 15 event ends on Monday, and I don't have my car yet.
Uh-oh.
So that's what I'm doing this weekend.
When's the launch date for, was it Shadowbringers?
I just looked at this like yesterday. I think it's July 2nd.
So it's still a little
It's still a little ways off, yeah.
But they finished all the 0.0 story, or, you know, point whatever stories.
Yeah, the story is, the Stormblood story's done now, and it was like the ending that leads into what Shadowbringers is going to be, so that's already all done and ready to go. So it's just like the game's just in a lull right now while it's waiting for Shadowbringers to come out, so it's just like catch up period. So I'm farming MGP. I need to do what was the Seiryu the Last of the Four Lords, and I need to do the Hildebrand quest. That's all I like need to do to catch up on like content before Shadowbringers comes out.
Yeah, I think that's why my cousin started going over to play FF11 again, because he's like he was over all the stuff he had to do in 14. But, what about you, Isley?
Not too much. I did actually pick up A Plague Tale and Observation, though. I just haven't played either one of them yet.
Yeah. We didn't play much, because we only played Divinity, what, Monday, Tuesday?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think it was Monday, Tuesday.
Though we have Log Weekend, just saying.
Just saying. As long as I'm not obligated to go do some family barbecue thing on Monday, then it'll be fine. I can play today for sure. I'll probably play a little more Observation after the podcast in between my meal prep and workout. But we can probably definitely play some more Divinity this weekend.
Yeah, because at this rate, it'll take like 2 years for us to beat it.
yeah, it will. I'm like, especially when they updated and made Act 3 longer than it was originally. Yeah, a lot of complaints people had back in the day when it came out was that Act 3 was really short. Like, he didn't really do much. Like, you get to a new place. Like, it was a new area, and then they go, but you don't do much in the area. And then so they patched in like a bunch of extra stuff. I don't know if it's extra main story. I just know there's a bunch of like side quests, a bunch of other things, like more activities. So now I have to go back and look at the patch notes, but they tell like originally it would take about this long to get to Act 3. Now it takes this long if you were to do everything. So there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but, so we definitely have to up our game.
Yeah, but outside of that,
I haven't played anything else. Pretty much that.
Yeah, we gotta get on Observation or a Plague's Tale or something. Play those. I figure Plague's Tale is pretty short, isn't it? Like, so is it kind of short?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. outside of since I finished Days Gone, I'll probably go back and platinum it. It's easy platinum. Probably do that at some point, but I don't know when. I want to. I was gonna go in and finally start the DLC for Assassin's Creed, but I tend to procrastinate a lot with DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I'm like, because now I'm really in the now once I finish it, it's done kind of situation. It's kind of like why I didn't watch season 2 of Ozarks, because I'm like, I don't want to finish it. And then they announced the season 3, so I'm like, okay, now I can safely go back and watch season 2, because I know there's going to be more. But yeah, I was going back in the DLC stuff, and I was like, I don't know if I want to finish it right now. But yeah, just play more Apex, getting back into that, because I didn't play that for a while, because I was busy playing Days Gone and Divinity. But then I picked up Observation last night and started playing that. I'm not that far in it. Pretty short. It was funny. There's this one point. It's like, oh, do you want your camera speed to be? I'm like, I just left it as default. And you know, you're the AI system on this space station. And so like, I'm rotating these cameras. I'm like, God damn, these cameras rotate so goddamn slow. So I'm like, okay, let's up the sensitivity. So I up it up, and I feel like it doesn't feel like it's really moved, increased that much. I feel like I'm using sniper sensitivity in Fortnite or some other video game that has separate sniper sensitivity. And then all of a sudden I get to a point where I get this observation orb that you control that can float around the space station, and then my sensitivity just was like through the roof. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna get sick. I gotta turn this thing down because it's just way too high. But
so it clearly ups it for one, but not the other.
Yeah, like the camera, not that it matters necessarily for the camera. It just felt like, oh Lord, I am just moving. This camera like feels like it's moving super slow. Like in the capsules themselves, it felt fine. But then when you access the cameras outside the space station, you have to like look around to like the objective is like, I need you to assess the damage on the space station. So you have to do these wide sweeps to look at the space station. I'm like, oh my God. And there was like multiple cameras. I'm like, this is taking so long. Like inside, at least there's like in most capsule, there's three cameras, one in the center and then one at each end of the capsule. So if you want to look at something, it's like, I can't see, like, you don't have to move the camera that much to really, like, tell A, what's, you know, quote, interactable or readable as the AI. But everywhere else, it's like, oh, my Lord. And then I'm like, oh, this isn't really like a, because I didn't read any reviews. I just read the paragraph summary. Good Lord.
Peregrine Summograph?
Yeah. Don't mind it. I read the...
We're going with it.
Yeah. The summary paragraph on a review from one website. And I was like, okay, I like this because they gave it like a... I think they gave it a 9. I'm like, oh man, this game is wrong. I looked other websites and they're like, you know, Game Informer 9, other thing 9. Like these really high scores. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to read or watch any reviews. I just want to go in. And then, yeah, it was like, I'm playing around. Some stuff was happening. And then I'm like, oh, this isn't like I'm wondering, is this like a spooky game? Is this not a spooky game? And then I'm like, but I'm on camera. So I'm like, isn't that, you know, it's fine. But then the first time it gets you in the orb and there's one point where like the power just goes out in the capsule you're in. And I'm like, okay, this feels like a spooky game. I'm just an AI. I'm like, get me back to the camera. Pull up the schematics. Get me out of this orb. I don't want something to get me. Not that anything popped out, but it was just, it kind of got me. But yeah, I'm curious. It kind of, I don't know. I'm wondering where it's going to go story-wise, especially with how much they kind of give you from the start.
What's your prediction now?
I'm not going to make it. It would be spoilery if I talked. I'd spoil
if
like
it's
the
a prediction. You said you're not far at it.
I'm with how much happens in the opening. The like they. What's interesting about this game is they do the movie thing where like the opening you play it, the AI. There's a person, I forget her name, I'm blanking her name right now. She reboots the AI system named Sam. I think it's like smart, I forget what it stands for. It's like something artificial maintenance, like maybe smart artificial maintenance. Like it's the program for the space station. And she reboots it, and then, you know, you go through and you do all this minor stuff. You're trying to figure out, you know, reboot power, help her get through some capsule doors, yada, yada. And then all of a sudden something happens and then it does like a, okay, now we're going to do the title sequence. Like how Mission Impossible, like they show Ethan Hunt going through, something happens, something blows up, he escapes, and then it does the Mission Impossible credits and then it goes back into the movie. It does that in this game, which is weird. Like all of a sudden, bam, thing happens. And then it's like, okay, now we're doing the intro credits and then it goes back and does it. And I'm past that. And then to the next part where it's like enough has happened in the opening bit and then right after that, if I talked about it or made speculation on it, it would be spoilery. So I don't want to ruin surprises. Yeah, I'm curious where it's going to go. But yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. Like I like it. It feels like a souped up version of like a Five Nights at Freddy's where you're not in one location, but you are using the cameras. You're interacting with stuff. You're working with this human character who needs your help. You're trying to analyze and figure out what's going on in the ship, yada, yada. And with some light puzzle elements so far. I feel like that Alien game that came out on iPad or whatever, that's more like Five Nights at Freddy's because you're trying to guide people to an exit, but get away from the alien that's going around. So you're trying to close vents. That's more Five Nights at Freddy's. It's just the idea, that concept of just looking at cameras only and not being able to actually do stuff. Granted, you can move around with the orb. That gives you some freedom within the space station. But yeah, I'm liking it so far. I'm curious where it's going to go. Especially because I've been watching a ton of sci-fi short films on YouTube. There's like this channel called Dust, and they have a sister channel called Alter, which is a horror short films. But so I've been watching both back to back. So I've been watching a ton of sci-fi short films.
Did you mention that before?
Yeah, I've mentioned that on Discord.
Okay, I was gonna say that sounds familiar, but I don't know if it's from you or from something else.
Yeah, because like I stumbled upon it and I started like just I binged like a ton of short films. Of course, the short films being the fact that it's like some are like they're okay, you know, but then others are like really good. Where I felt like the majority of something like Love, Sex, and Robots, or Love, no, it was Death, Love, and Robots?
Something Netflix. Like that.
Yeah, like that, I felt like the bulk of that was really good. I really enjoyed. But so,
I
like,
enjoyed
watching.
most of them except for like one or two episodes on that.
Yeah, there's only a couple. It's like, yeah, this is okay. But yeah, so watching, I try to just go like look at their film history, see which ones have the highest views, and then I just watch those first, and then I go back and watch all the smaller ones. But there's some good ones. I feel like the horror ones are probably like the easiest to do because you can always get that horror suspense is easy to pull off.
You think horror suspense is easy to do?
Yeah. Like just that because you can easily get into that tone of shit, it's quiet, maybe there's some light music. It's like there's something, especially the character, like a character walking towards something and they're not sure what's there. Like it's easy to build up. It's because it's that build up before like a jump scare. Not that necessarily a jump scare is going to happen, but it's that kind of tension. I feel like that's easy to do versus sci-fi. It's like you don't get there's no that tension in the sci-fi. It's more like the concept you're looking for. So if you don't have like a good concept for your sci-fi short, then it's not really going to be that good, like in the end. But yeah, there's some really good ones. Some of them are like sci-fi horror as well. They do like a combo, but there's some really good short films on both those channels. I'd definitely check them out. But yeah, so now I'm like, it's kind of primed me for observation. I feel like, oh, this is like I'm playing like a sci-fi short film. But
I mean, so I haven't started playing it yet, and I haven't watched anything. I basically, my experience with the game is that I saw that it got great reviews, but I didn't read those reviews. And that's about it.
Yep, same here. I was like, everybody says it's great. I'm like, hey, I'll get this game.
I already have theories. Having not played the game, of course, I already have theories because that's how that works. I think this, well, it's almost a disservice because it's coming, they already said like that they were big fans of 2001: A Space Odyssey, which makes me believe that otherworldly shit is going to be the focus of it. I don't think it's going to be aliens. I think it's going to be like the 2001 monolith type thing is going to be the focus of the game. And I don't think Sam is going to be evil because you're playing as him, although that would be really cool if they pulled the wool over your eyes and somehow everything you've been doing in the game has been misleading and secretly like you're evil and stalking these people, like what Braid did. Spoilers for Braid. You're the bad guy.
Yeah, I didn't play it, but I know that you're the bad guy.
Something like that could be cool. But yeah, I'll have to actually like dive in and play it.
Yeah, it's I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm curious how long it's gonna be. But I'll just play some more of it. Get there. Be able to talk about it. But oh yeah, I guess I could talk about Days Gone since I think I beat it before, like we didn't record last week, but I think I beat it last week. We didn't record, but yeah, Days Gone overall, I felt like if they had just shortened up a bit, would have been a much better package. It's selling really well, which is great, because that means they could do a second one and then make up all those issues that people had. Because like I didn't have any because I saw a lot of technical issues, like the horde, like some people walking along, you see the GIFs of it, like they're just walking along an area, and all of a sudden, bam, the horde just pops in because it didn't load before. Like I didn't have any of that. I didn't have any crazy technical problems. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, like I said, the story, certain aspects of it are very like cliche. You see them coming from a mile away. But overall, I had a lot of fun with it. And like I said, if they just had tightened up, because I feel like their mission structure was really weird. Especially in the first half, was kind of odd. It's like, it's because they're constantly making you go around back and forth between different regions of a map versus most games where if they have multiple regions, it's like, oh, you do everything within this region and now you move to the next. This is like, hey, do a mission. And then bam, all of a sudden someone from the other region goes, hey, I need your help. So you go all the way over there. And then the person back in the original one's like, hey, I need your help. And you're constantly driving all over the place, or you can fast travel, which uses gas, obviously. But it's like you're just constantly bouncing between these different locations. I'm like, it was just weird that I guess the only benefit there was then it would kind of help you focus on which camp you wanted to really help build up your reputation based on what they sold, if they sold bike upgrades or weapons or both, you know, whatever. But there's also this weird like bonus thing near the end. It reminded me a lot of Persona 5, where people that you had max confidant rank with would see things as they really were in the end segment. Where there was a moment like this where it's like, oh, you have to go do something. And like the camps that you had max rank with would be like, okay, we'll give you a hand. But that was like it. Like, oh, it was like just a cutscene. And then later there was like another cutscene once the like thing is done, where it's like, you know, they just kind of give you a nod. And like, it wasn't really that, it didn't really matter. It was very inconsequential. Like, and they weren't like extra. It was like you're playing a game where like, oh, this whole camp will come help you. That means you have 20 more NPCs helping you. It's like, no, it's a cutscene. They say they'll help. They don't actually show up because it's just you doing everything by yourself. And then that's it. So I'm like, that was really weird that they would put this in here, but it didn't really matter. But yeah, liked a lot of side characters. They're really good. And like I said, fighting the Horde is just so much fun. Especially the big ones. And in the daytime too, because it's like they hibernate in their cave. So you like, and once you beat the game, it shows you where all the hordes are, which is fantastic. So you're not constantly running around looking for them. And you just like go up and you set like all your traps, like your proximity bombs or your remote bombs or whatever. And then you just freaking maybe chuck a couple grenades into the cave and then blow up, and they all come at you. You just mowing them down with your LMG in slow-mo because you got the bullet time kind of skill. It's just, yeah, it's so fun. I just love fighting the hordes. It's just exhilarating, especially in early game when like you accidentally stumble upon a horde and you're like, oh my god. And if they notice you, you're like, well, let's do this. I don't quite have all the ammo I need, but we'll figure it out.
This will be fine.
Yeah. And the one problem I have with the hordes is that they are limited to a specific area, to where if you go too far, they can't go past, like, they're like a dog on a chain. It's like they can't go past a certain point. And then they eventually kind of de-aggro and go back to what they were doing. Maybe like five of them will continue to chase you, but like the 150 other ones aren't. And that was like, I felt like you could cheese a lot that way. Especially if like there's like this one area where I stumbled across one and there's a bridge. And now it wasn't like a big bridge. It was just a little one because there was like a little river below. But the bridge had a bunch of police cars, and police cars in their trunks always have ammo. So if I needed ammo, it's like, well, I could just run to the other end of the bridge. Only a couple will follow me. And then I can go back and quickly open up these trunks, get the ammo, and then go continue the fight with the horde. So it's like, I kind of wish there were still a couple that would chase me, but it's like, I kind of wish, you know, because a lot of times it felt like there were situations where you couldn't necessarily run from them because there were other freakers in the area that would aggro you, just like handfuls of them on the outskirts. So you still have to watch out for that. But some great moments where it's like just emergent gameplay where I was hunting a horde. It's like, okay, they're over in this area, but it was daytime. So in their daytime, they're roaming around and they always go on like, it's a pretty big area they'll roam. Typically they're at a feeding ground or they're at the water. And I also happened to come across this bandit camp that was in the same area. And then one of the bandits sees a freaker, shoots it, alerts the entire horde, and the horde just locusts go in there and just start murdering all these guys, which my objective was to kill all 13 of them. So I'm just watching my objective marker tick. It's like 1 of 13, 2 of 13, 3 of 13. I'm like, hey, thanks, guys. Just give me a hand. Don't have to waste any ammo. It was just like,
you're just sitting there like, neat.
And then one of my favorite things is there's these check stations, like these checkpoint stations called these NERO, which is the National Emergency Response Organization, which is like the FEMA of this game, except they're trying to help out with this outbreak. And so they have these abandoned neuro stations, and there's resources there. There's also these neuro injectors, which let you increase either your health, your stamina, or your focus, which is your slowdown time stat. But you have to always, the objective is always to turn the power back on. So like there's a generator, and you have to find gas. There's always a gas can. But sometimes there's also like a fuse is blown, so you have to find the fuse. But when you turn the power back on, there's these loudspeakers spread around the camp. And once you turn them on, it kicks back on this emergency broadcast thing, which just calls in a bunch of freakers if you don't disable them first. So, like, I found that I figured that was the case the very first time I came across that in a game. I was like, oh, well, I can interact and cut this thing, or you can shoot him down. And clearly, I should. I'm like, obviously, if I can, I better do it, because when I turn power on, I feel like they're just going to turn on and blast some sounds. And sure enough, I took them all off, turned the power, everything was fine. But then later on, you get to like the bigger neural camps, there might be like 8 of these loudspeakers. Sometimes they're up on the light, these lights, or they're on like other little buildings. So you're trying to like follow these power lines to figure out where they all are. And I feel like, oh, I got them all. And then I turn on the power, and there's like all of a sudden on my minimap, there's the speaker icon with 3 like rings around it to indicate that sounds coming from it. And I'm like, oh, God damn it, I missed one of them. And then it's like, I just hear the freakers like just coming in. I'm like, okay, turn the power off. Now I got to go take care of these guys, find that goddamn speaker, and just shoot it off. Then I can turn the power back on. But yeah, it's a lot. I had a lot of fun with that game. I really enjoyed it. They definitely obviously could do a second one, and hopefully it keeps selling, and they get to do one. May just not take forever, and hopefully they can turn around much quicker. But I don't think the team at Bend is that big, but not Bend. Yeah, it's Bend, right? Yeah. But we'll see. But yeah. Other than that, that's basically it. I was trying to look while I was talking, but that's always difficult to do, to see if there was some big thing I missed. But the problem is I hear so much game news throughout the week that it's also Xbox and Nintendo related. So I'm trying to like remember, okay, what was specific to PlayStation. But I just couldn't find anything. I need to start again. I always say I got to bookmark everything. Problem is I go a week where nothing happens.
Every week.
Well, I was going to do it last week, but nothing happened except the Sony Microsoft thing. So it was like, well, no need to bookmark this. I'll remember it. And I usually assume like, oh, if I open up like Twinfinite and just sort by PS4 news, I can check the past week and everything will be there. But sometimes it's like it's not, or it's presented in a weird way so it doesn't necessarily pop out that, oh, this is the article I'm looking for. Or it's like the problem I have too about is when people just have this long paragraph and they don't bullet point break it down. That's usually why I prefer articles that are reporting on other people's articles, because they'll source it, but then they just give you the highlights. Like, oh, hey, this is what they said. But
we read this other article for you.
Yeah, I prefer the breakdowns, especially when it's important stuff. Like, that's why I liked seeing that presentation document from Sony. So I'm like, here's all the points they talk about with streaming, with VR, with next gen PlayStation, everything. Like it was nice to see it. This is essentially the bullet points from them. Like this is what they're talking about in their PowerPoint presentation. Like, so I'm like, I'm glad I can just look this over and read it. But yeah, we got E3 coming up right around the corner. It's so close.
Excite.
Yep. It's going to be on it starts on the 9th. Or I can't remember if EA is doing the 8th, if they're doing Saturday. But yeah, we've got 2 weeks, and then we're in E3. So yeah, I look forward
to it. I'm still excited, even though Sony won't be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because especially the past couple years, there's been a lot of games that typically I would have expected to see at Sony's E3 conference that have been at Microsoft's. So I'll be like, all right, get to see. They'll show it at their own, or it'll appear at Microsoft's thing, and then we'll see if PlayStation will do another, Days of Play. No.
State of Play.
I almost said Days of Play. I was like, that's a totally different thing.
PlayStation
Days
Direct.
Of God, Days of Play. Yeah, all the same.
Yep. But yeah, see, they might do. I mean, they just did one, so who knows? They'll do another one around E3 or later in June or something. But yeah, we can still see. Everybody else has got their conference, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Sai, for joining.
Yep.
And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
later.